Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Keystone Kickoff Show. Looking around the Big Ten now. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. We talked all about Penn State, Maryland. Now the rest of the Big Ten. By the way, if you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you have to check out tailgatewine.com, the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. Check it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. We're talking football here. We talked all Penn State. The Big Ten was perhaps a bigger storyline. It's a national storyline this weekend with Ohio State doing what it did to Michigan, which this was another one of those games where there was just zero evidence on paper that could suggest that Ohio State could do this to this Michigan defense. 62-39 came out of nowhere, and now suddenly the Big Ten thrown on its ear a little bit, with Ohio State now the front runner to get into the college football playoff, their resume not as ironclad as Michigan's was going into that game. You also have the storyline of Jim Harbaugh, who is now 0-4 against Urban Meyer. This one probably stung the most because this was a Michigan team that looked like it was destined to snap that streak and be a national player, and it all fell apart in one weekend.
I think it's time for old Jim to he either has to fire some coaches or just leave and go either retire or coach somewhere. I don't know how he can continue at Michigan as status quo. I mean, this, if you can't beat them this year, when are you going to beat them? I mean, this was a vulnerable Ohio State team. It was the best quarterback he's had since he got there. It's seemingly the best offense he's had since he got there. They just didn't lose. They got boat raced. And Ohio State could have scored probably at least 14 more points,
man,
guys.
He just came out throwing knives at Harbaugh, didn't he?
Isn't it amazing when Greg shifts that gear and he finds this mode? It is a work of art.
Yeah.
It's why we do this.
It just came to life on that one.
I'm not going to beat him this year. When is he going to beat him?
I don't disagree with you. I mean, look, the game was in Columbus. And as much as we want to look from the outside and say, oh, this should have happened or that should have happened, this is Michigan, Ohio State, and it's probably on a level that we really don't understand from a Penn State perspective, because we don't have the kind of rival that they have. I mean, this is, you know, all the M's get X'd out on campus at Ohio State. Every you know, thing that Urban Meyer can conjure up, and he is still, even though this was an unbelievably up and down year for them, they're still 11-1, and he still is. What, the second best coach in college football after Nick Saban, you can argue. They used everything they could find to come up and come up with a way to beat them. And they just flat out had more talent and more speed than Michigan's defense could handle. And so, look, it was they did. I mean, it was amazing. They put 62 on them, though. And it's funny that Harbaugh, 1 week after coming out and saying Don Brown's the best assistant coach in all of college football, well, Don Brown's defense just got lit up completely by the Buckeyes. So fascinating. But yeah, I mean, look, your point's well taken about Harbaugh and the team. If they're not going to beat him this year, when Ohio State seemed to be down and Michigan seemed to be up, when is it going to happen for the Wolverines?
And the way that it unfolded early, Ohio State made statements right off the bat, short, quick, crossing pattern type things. They were able to use that speed and get off that aggressive press man coverage, and they were able to shake loose a bunch of times. The surprise, I guess, wasn't so much that they found success with a pretty – I mean, not to discredit their game plan, but a pretty routine concept. They just never let up. Michigan never caught up with that. Finished with 567 yards. Michigan came into the game allowing less than 235 a game. Dwayne Haskins was sharp and finished with 318 and 5 touchdowns. I just wonder, you know, the dynamic of these rivalry situations and how one coach can be on the losing end of it. To this extent with Jim Harbaugh, is Ohio State in his head? Why were they so unprepared? They didn't execute. They didn't seem to plan well. They didn't come out with a lot of jump in their step. This was just ripe for the taking.
And, you know, this was one of the things I had wondered about with Shea Patterson. This was his introduction to this rivalry. And he hadn't, you know, as Michigan came and started the year as the underdog, right? I mean, they were the sleeper team. Everyone was talking about Harbaugh's not going to make it past this year. All of a sudden, they start knocking off teams. The revenge tour is going quite well. Well, you knew the pressure would be on. Look, they entered the game as a favorite on the road at a 10-1 Ohio State team. That's a lot of pressure for a quarterback just getting introduced to this rivalry to handle. They scored some points, but it was mostly window dressing. They were already behind when that was happening. So for Shea Patterson, this was not, you know, it wasn't going to be an easy game to begin with in Columbus.
And this Michigan team, and I think you could probably say it, just Jim Harbaugh's philosophy, it's not really built to be on its heels. It's built with that defensive mindset, with a really, no disrespect to Shea Patterson, but really just somebody who's going to manage the game well. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever really wants to, unless he's got that special quarterback in the Andrew Luck type mold, is never really going to want his quarterback to be the guy. It's about the offensive philosophy, the defensive philosophy. And the problem with that is that when this situation happens and you're leaking points, you're not really built or equipped to play that catch-up mode. And I know that, you know, they closed the gap late in the first half, and I know that that wasn't a huge issue throughout, but Ohio State scoring points, it just took Michigan out of its element completely. And, you know, Penn State, we talked about these one-dimensional type teams. Michigan was really, really good defensively, and I still believe that they are. But when games go sideways, you like a team that's rounded well enough that they can win the game in a variety of ways. Michigan, just point blank, isn't really equipped to win games in a variety of ways. They're equipped to, and a lot of times they're able to exert their will and their formula, but this case, they didn't have their formula, and it showed.
Well, that's really what it comes down to. You can revenge tour this, that, and the other thing, and trash talk all you want, and yeah, you know, come out and say this and that and the other thing, and you can guarantee victory. Now, I think that the people that are piling on to Higdon kid are a little bit ridiculous. He was asked a question, do you think you're going to win this weekend? What's he supposed to say? No, I think we're going to lose. I mean, come on.
It was a tepid guarantee. It wasn't like he had a lot of juice behind
it. This day and age is really tough because three words out of a three-sentence response can be plastered everywhere.
Right.
It's a tough time to be
context or not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure sitting there on the other end of the microphone as a coach or as a player, James Franklin's gone through this. You want to say something interesting. You want to say something that has personality, but the reality is the after effects of that can be harmful.
No question about it. But I mean, just the point being though, is that, you know, especially this Michigan defense has talked a lot about, you know, this multiple things about how good they are and what they can do and all that. And they didn't just – I mean, they were torched. I mean, I know that some guys got hurt. You know, they lost some key pieces during that game. But I'm not sure it would have mattered. I mean, Ohio State was just going up and down the field at will. You're 100% right, Dustin, that they are not built Michigan to – come from behind. As soon as Ohio State got up 14, it was might as well have been over at that point, and everyone you know could have just went home, because they're not built to do that. They're built to get up and grind the clock, and that's that.
Assume for a second here that Georgia loses to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and Oklahoma and Ohio State both win equally impressively.
Bama's getting in.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bama's probably in with a loss.
That's what I'm saying. Unless they get blown out by 20 or 30, which isn't going to happen. I think Bama's
Clemson's not losing. Notre Dame is done. I've seen the argument out there that an undefeated Notre Dame team would be left out. I don't see that happening.
No. That's where was that argument made? They're probably predicting Penn State the Holiday Bowl, too.
He's seen it on a piece of paper in front of him. He wrote it down.
I was on the dark web surfing in college football. That's where I get most of my news. Georgia is out with a loss to Alabama. So really, if Oklahoma and Ohio State win, just as if, you know, neither team delivers a bigger statement than the other, which team's better? Which team is in?
I have no idea.
I honestly think Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma's in. Look, Alabama should take care of business with Georgia, and Georgia's a great team. They'll have a second loss. I think if Oklahoma can beat Texas, which is a big if, that's going to be a really exciting game. You know, which you can see on Fox 43, by the way.
It's gonna very be really subtle.
And so, very anyway, subtle. It's. I think you can. Oh my gosh, I think I might have spoken out of turn. Anyway, it's going to be an exciting game wherever you can see it. So, But, you know, look, I think Alabama should take care of Georgia. And if Oklahoma wins, I think Oklahoma's in there. That Ohio State loss to Purdue is still going to come back to haunt them. That's a bad loss. I know they took care of Michigan, but Oklahoma's, they got some good wins. They got a really solid team. And, I mean, who's not going to want to see Kyler Murray? If you've seen Kyler Murray play, who's not going to want to see him play Alabama? That is going to be an amazing matchup if they can make that happen.
Electric. The problem is
Oklahoma handled themselves well, by the way, last year and almost took out. I mean, you know, had a phenomenal semifinal against Georgia last year.
And if I just real quick, I'll be the devil's advocate because there's a lot of Penn State fans out there that are thinking there's no way they're letting Ohio State out of the playoff because they always find a way to sneak in. It's happened before. It could happen again. I know there's a lot of Penn State fans out there that think that. I agree with you guys. Unless – well, if Oklahoma loses and Ohio State wins, then okay, that, you know, that settles that. But as long as they do about the same thing, I think it's Oklahoma that gets in.
And how about if Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State lose? Could we see UCF?
No,
probably not.
No,
Texas no. I don't. It could get really dicey. That's not going to happen. But
you do love your chaos.
I didn't even say that. Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all losing. UCF. Wow.
Yep.
It could be the situation.
Sure.
Interesting.
Why not?
Yeah. That's anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week. Let's finish up around the Big Ten.
Ohio State's got to get past Northwestern, guys. And they were 8-1 in the Big Ten. I mean, yeah, they lost their three non-con games, but there's only three teams 8-1 in the conference, Michigan, Ohio State, and Northwestern. They played Michigan tough. They played Notre Dame pretty tough. There's nothing saying Ohio State's not going to look right past the Wildcats.
No gimme, and that formula of Northwestern, they'll just battle you, and they'll be disciplined and all that. And Ohio State can have a pretty fatal lack of discipline at times this season. We'll see. That's coming up this weekend. Michigan State needed
to work
hard.
A game you can definitely see on Fox 40.
There you go. All right. And why don't you check your notes again? We'll circle back to the other one. Michigan State labor to get past Rutgers. Rutgers covered. I still don't know the stat, but five games in a row.
I think you should just go with it, though. Go with it.
5 games in a row, Rutgers loses but covers the point spread. It's a special statistic that maybe only Rutgers can achieve. But the bottom line being, Rutgers is playing teams tough, and Penn State was on the receiving end of that. Iowa beats Nebraska 31-28. Kirk Ferentz got bloodied by a headbutt afterwards. Minnesota beats Wisconsin 37-15. What a year for Wisconsin. They finished 7-5 there. Alex Hornibrook was back. Didn't seem to make much of a difference in that one. PJ Fleck in Minnesota get bowl eligibility. Purdue beats Indiana. Northwestern 24-16 over Illinois. They're not really a blowout team, Northwestern is, but they're playing for a Big Ten championship this weekend against Ohio State. Any other closing thoughts there, guys, around the Big Ten?
No, I think that basically covers a lot.
On that note, Jeff Brown will be joining us right after this to talk a little Penn State hoops, a weekly segment moving forward. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.